Welcome to the Financial Flight Plan with Tim Estes and Bree Reyes. When it comes to your financial future, we believe the sky is the limit. We'll give you the proper tools to keep your engine portfolio running smoothly. Let us pilot the answers to some of your toughest financial issues. The Financial Flight Plan starts now.
Well, hello and welcome to another edition of the Financial Flight Plan podcast. I'm Mark Hill alongside Bree Reyes of Estes Financial Services, serving you in the Metroplex with an office in Fort Worth. Find them online at estesfinancial.net, on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, all the social media. You can also call the office. That's the most direct way to get in touch with the team. Call them at 817-444-8402. That's 817-444-8402. With that, Bree, hello, and welcome into the podcast.
Hey, Mark. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. It's kind of the dead heat of summer, so I'm just trying to stay cool. I hope that our listeners are perhaps listening to this later on in the fall when it's a little cooler outside. But
yeah, it's hot out there.
Oh, man. Just miserable right now. So wherever you are, hope you're cool and comfortable. Today, Bree, I want to talk about mission statements, giving our dollars a purpose. I don't know about you, but I find that any loose money left sitting around in an account is either not earning me money, and that's probably the best case scenario, but at its worst, I'm probably spending it.
That tends to be the way most people work, Mark. You're not alone in that.
Yes.
Heck, it happens to me.
And you're supposed to be good with money, so it can happen.
Oh, I'm fabulous with money, but if it's money laying around, sometimes dollars, I'm not as good with them as I should be.
Yes, it can get to the best of us. Today, I do want to talk about that. I want to talk about giving our dollars a purpose, developing mission statements for our money in order to develop sound strategies in our portfolio. So as an example, I think maybe you could argue, I'm actually about to be getting married, but this would apply for me just starting out or even later on in life. If you don't have an emergency fund, you really need to get one. And I would say that that's really the first mission statement that you should seek to kind of carve out for your money.
Oh, exactly. Most people, and it surprises me the number of people that we, Tim and I, meet with, prospective clients, not necessarily our clients, because we tend to hammer this one in pretty hard, but they don't have an emergency fund. And so for us, an emergency fund is 3 to 6 months of your living expenses. And what I mean by living expenses is I mean essential living expenses. And to different people, the word essential can mean different things. For example, Joaquin, if you're listening, I love you, but my husband's version of essential living expenses and my version of essential living expenses are somewhat different. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. I think my fiance and I, even just starting out, we're already seeing that one of us is more of the saver and one of the is the spender in our relationship.
And so, pretty much in every couple, it works like that.
Yes.
And you know what? You'd be surprised, because I'm a certified financial planner and I've been a financial advisor for, let's put it, 14 years now. I don't like doing the math on that one because I realize how old I'm getting.
Long enough to be wise, not long enough to be old.
I'm getting there. You know, I'm the spender in my relationship. Heck, Tim Estes, the CEO and founder of Estes Financial Services, he's the spender in his relationship. You know, you think professional certified financial planners. No, this happens to everybody. But the reason that we can be that way is that Tim and I both have emergency funds set aside. Even my husband and I both, you know, he and I together have this 3 to 6 months of living expenses set aside. Now, granted, we did have to have the conversation about what's an essential living expense to you, because one of us had a certain essential living expenses that the other one didn't necessarily agree with. Yes, I have to have every sports channel, Joaquin. Don't question my need for all sports channels.
At any time of day, I want all sports, and I want them when I want them.
Exactly. So, but I mean, it's important to know what are your essentials.
Yes. No, you're right. It's true. And I think it is important to point out that it is okay if you are the spender in the relationship. You both complement one another. In my relationship, I'd like to think that if it weren't for me, that we'd be afraid to spend often and we'd be saving everything and you never have any funny life. But
well, and we're going to come to that later on, I think.
Yes.
The important thing to think about with this emergency fund is this is money that is not invested in the market.
Right.
This is savings account money. This is money for one client of ours. It's money in a gun safe that he has in his home. This is your easy to get to, no 3-day waiting period, emergency funds.
Yep. It's you're in a serious bind. You need the money right now. and it needs to be sitting somewhere at a moment's notice. You're not using it for anything else.
Exactly.
All right. Mission statement number two. This one's kind of broadening out just a little bit now. These are your big ticket items, right? Your old car goes kaput, that kitchen renovation, et cetera, et cetera. Why is that important to have, Bree?
Well, you know, living in North Texas, if you live in a pier and beam home, you know you're going to have foundation repairs every, I don't know, 8 years or so. We also, our AC units tend to go out worse than people in other states just because we're running them. At least I know mine's on right now. So the more we use these things and the more that we can plan for these big ticket items, either be it that or even college planning, that type of thing, the better off we are. Then it's not hitting us. Then we're not shocked by it.
Well, and those items don't go away when you retire either.
No, they don't. And I was watching a story on the news the other night that was comparing home warranty companies and whether or not they're really worth it. And dependent upon the age of your appliances, whether or not you'd even be covered. And so what the newscaster said, which I found really interesting, was it may be worth just looking at taking what you would pay every month in a premium and just putting it into a big ticket item fund. And this can be separate and apart from your emergency fund. This can be a fund because, you know, in a couple of years, you're going to need a foundation repair, or, you know, hey, the fridge is kind of looking a bit iffy. And you can start kind of putting that aside separate and apart from your emergency fund.
Right. So we've got already two different purposes for our money. One, money we need now. It's really important that we can get it right now and that it's liquid and that it's safe. And then we've talked about big ticket items, so the old jalopy, the kitchen renovation. Now let's talk about something that I think is different people argue. I mean, all of these have a purpose, but this one, especially in retirement, is incredibly important because you're heading into that stage of permanent unemployment. So you really need to have predictable monthly income.
And this is very important. We used to have predictable monthly income in the forms of pensions from our former employers. But nowadays, as we go into retirement, fewer and fewer retirees have those pensions. And you may have Social Security. It may be coming in, and that's kind of a form of a pension. It's money that you, predictable monthly income that you know is coming in. But for those of us that don't have a pension, for those of us that just had a 401k, it's scary. It's really scary when you get to retirement and you have accumulated this money, and how do you turn it into an income stream, and how much of your, remember those essential monthly expenses, do you want guaranteed to be covered by a non-fluctuating predictable income stream? That's kind of a personal question. Some people are okay with having 80% of their essential monthly expenses covered by a predictable income. Some people like 40, some people want 100. So it's a personal choice and it's up to you, but it's something that you need to sit down and think about. I think most people don't even know what their essential monthly expenses are. So that's always kind of a fun exercise to go through when we start financial planning, is exactly what are you spending? And then how much of that do you want to know is coming? How much income do you want to come in per month to cover that? And there's, like I said, multiple ways we can do that. We can look at an old pension if you have one. We can look at Social Security if you have one. We can look at personal pensions, annuities, if that works for your situation. And it's always a case-by-case individual situation, but it's something that you should know and at least have thought about.
Yeah, I think that first step especially is something to give a lot of thought to. That's something that's going to take some time, too. I mean, your income needs fluctuate a little bit, but it takes a few months to really start tracking what you're spending and what you need. But that's going to be a huge part of your retirement, and it's important that you set aside some of your savings for that purpose.
Well, and it's good to start looking at that early and work with a certified financial planner, work with a CFP to start looking at your expenses before you retire, because every time we go through, that's part of our process of financial planning here at Estes Financial, is every time we go through that, the essential expenses, it's always eye-opening for everyone. Like I said, not everybody agrees, especially in a couple, what an essential expense is. So it's good to start that before you retire, not necessarily get slammed with the, I've retired, this is how much money I need every month, and just kind of be shocked at how long your money will last. It's that the silly commercials where somebody's walking until their money runs out. A lot of people aren't real sure how long their walk is going to be. And if you start planning for it in advance, you're not shell-shocked.
Yeah, I'm just thinking actually back to a recent conversation with my fiance, where to me, an essential need is that ProHealth Crest toothpaste, because it's just really good for your teeth. To her, it's whatever the equate, you know, Walmart brand toothpaste is. And so you have to kind of decide what those recurring expenses are going to be. It's important.
Hey, I agree with you. I'm a Crest girl all the way.
Yes, got to have your teeth in good shape, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. All right. Another mission statement number four here. There's seven of these I want to go through. Let's talk a little bit about growth, because you do, you know, as you're getting older, we talk about safety a lot. That's important, but you do still want to make sure that your money is outpacing inflation.
Oh, exactly. Growth is so important. You know, inflation's been pretty minor, pretty tame lately, but we can think back into pretty recent history. I mean, 1980s, where inflation was running rampant. And who's to say that it won't be there again? There's only two ways to get out of debt, and that's to raise taxes or inflate. And we've got a lot of debt, and we just lowered taxes. So guess which way inflation's going to go? So the only way to keep up with inflation really is to invest, to get some type of growth on your money. And so a portion of your assets, I would argue, probably need to be in some type of growth vehicle. Now, the situation's different for everybody. How much is in a growth vehicle and what growth vehicles can be on a case-by-case basis? But you need to make sure you've got some growth in your portfolio.
You do. I'm actually thinking about my grandfather, who's 88 years old. So you can speak more to this. At that age, it's probably mostly about keeping your money safe. But even he was recently complaining to his financial advisor that his investments weren't keeping up with inflation and that he wanted more growth.
Well, yeah, you used to be able to get growth in CDs, and you know, you could go to the bank and buy a 5-year CD and keep up with inflation. And now I've seen cases where we had a prospective client come in and a new member of the Estes Financial Services client family now. But when they came in, we took a look at what they were doing, and they were actually losing money by keeping it safe. They were going broke very slowly because they weren't keeping pace with inflation and they weren't paying attention to their bank fees.
Right. And I think too about the fact that, you know, so my grandfather is 88. And if you're retiring, especially if you're retiring early in your 50s, but even if you're retiring at the age of 65, like most Americans, if you're thinking, man, 90 sounds a long way away, it really isn't. And you need to make sure that you've got enough growth for your investments to last that long so you can continue getting that predictable monthly income we previously talked about.
No. Yeah, you definitely have to. My grandfather was 93. So 90 is not really that far off.
Not that far off. And we'll actually talk a little bit more about some of the issues that longevity present us. But it is a good thing. It's good to be living longer, but you have to plan for it. Mission statement number five, Bree, fun money. This is the one I like right here, fun money. It's not all about the dollars and cents, right?
No, if it's only about the dollars and cents, you get bored. You buy the impulse purchase. You got to have some fun money. You have to have an amount that you can spend. My husband and I have a set amount that we are allowed to spend without consulting the other one. Now, if we go over said amount, there must be a consultation. And that is to keep the spender, me, in check. See, we have a plan even for our fund money, which is silly. But we want you to enjoy your retirement. You shouldn't be hampered by not being able to do what you want to do. You've worked for all of these years to be able to retire. Make your golden years golden. Go see your grandkids. Travel. Do what you want to do. You just have to make sure that that is responsible and doesn't impact you potentially outliving your money. But you need some fun money. Everybody does. As much as Tim comes around the office talking about Starbucks, mocha, frappuccino, whatevers, because he does. He picks on them. Partially because I occasionally drink them. But, you know, as much as he picks on my frivolous purchases, he knows that occasionally I need one of those. So leave it alone. You know, everybody has to have some fun money.
That's right. It's good to splurge every once in a while. Maybe it's the nice drinks like that in the morning. Maybe it's something bigger like a trip to Europe. Maybe you've always wanted to do that or to go and see the Great Wall. Or maybe it's more like heading out on a weekly date night or something. But whatever it is, establish your goals and go after them. You know, have fun in retirement. You've worked hard. You've gotten to this point, and enjoy it.
Just be responsible. Don't bet it all on black.
That's why I'm the host. You get to tell folks to be responsible. That's right. Don't put it all on black. Be responsible. Have a plan. All right. Now let's talk about healthcare. I mentioned longevity. We are living longer, and that is awesome, but it does come with some unique challenges, right? And healthcare is one of them. And healthcare costs will only be going up as well.
Healthcare costs will be going up. And we've talked about how much of every dollar that goes in the federal government, I think on last month's podcast, goes out to pay for Medicare and Social Security and just debt service payments. So healthcare costs, even in Medicare, are going to go up. And so premiums are going to go up. Copays, I imagine, if you have a copay with your insurance, is going to eventually go up. Long-term care costs are going up. It seems like every time I turn around here in North Texas in Fort Worth, they're building a new memory care facility or long-term care facility. And while it's great because we're going to need them because we've got an aging population, they aren't cheap looking. Like, they look much nicer than my college dorm. So I know these places are pricey. And most people don't have long-term care insurance. Most people don't have a plan to pay for it. So then it falls to either they're eating through their investments, and that's great if there's only one of you, but if there's a spouse that doesn't need the memory care facility, now you're paying for essentially two households worth of stuff, or it's to your kids. And so it's a scary thing, but it's something that, you know, planning for is good. Even with Medicare, if you want to upgrade the lens that you're looking at because you're getting crystal lenses, or if you, there's a couple of different things where there's an upgrade option and maybe you want to upgrade, and then that'll have to come out of your own money. So planning for healthcare costs are important.
Yeah. And I think something that's important there is you don't have to be afraid of rising healthcare costs if you have a plan in place. I know I mentioned my grandfather, he was a minister through the years, and so he never made a whole lot of money, but he saved really well, and he had a good advisor, and he planned for all of these things. And so that now, as he's getting older, and my grandmother is going through Alzheimer's, he's going through Parkinson's, it's a sad reality, but they were prepared for it, and they have the coverage in place to take them through this step in their lives.
And that's important. With all of these things, having a plan in place for the money is great. And it can start simple. You know, start with one of these mission statements and work your way up. Because, I mean, now we're on number six already. And I understand how this can seem overwhelming when you just hear it in a podcast. But take, you know, eat the elephant one bite at a time. Take a little bit and start with one of them.
Yeah, these podcasts sometimes can feel like drinking out of a fire hose, but just like you said, easy, digestible bites, one step at a time, and you'll
and
get
there.
And
work with someone. Call a certified financial planner. Heck, call us at Estes Financial Services. I'd love to help you get through all seven of these steps and make sure that your financial plan has all seven of these mission statements in it, because it's important.
Mm-hmm. And of course, that number to do so is 817-444-8402. 817-444-8402. We'll talk a little bit about that more in just a moment. Bree, the last mission statement is leaving a legacy. So one day, you know, our time will come to depart this world, and you have to decide what to do with your estate, what happens to your investments. And some folks want to set up that trust or a will. Other folks want to spend their last dime. That's maybe the first discussion you have to have.
And you have to have that between spouses, too. I recently met with a couple that one spouse wanted to spend their last dime and the other one wanted to leave a legacy, and that was a discussion they never actually had because they hadn't thought that they were going to get that far. So it is something to plan for. It is something to talk about. It is something to discuss. And that's it's all a personal decision. Whether you want to spend down to your last dime or whether you want to, you know, leave a legacy, and how you want to leave and structure that legacy. We're not estate planning attorneys here at Estes Financial Services, but we work really closely with some good ones that I can refer you to discuss the legalities of a legacy. But if you want to leave one, then there's no time like the present to start thinking about it and start thinking how to structure it.
That's right. The time is now to get started. Like we said, if you've listened to this entire podcast, if you're here at the end with us, it probably does sound overwhelming, but it doesn't have to be. It's all about taking one step at a time so that you can lead that abundant life that we talk about here on the podcast all the time. We believe that you can do that in retirement. We believe that you can set these goals, you can achieve them. It all starts with finding those ways to give your dollars a purpose, achieving these seven mission steps. And if you need help sitting down and thinking through them for yourself, the team at Estes Financial Services is always willing to sit down with you. All you have to do is reach out and give them a call, 817-444-8402. That's 817-444-8402. They're there to answer your questions about retirement and to help you think through how you're going to give your dollars a purpose.
And go out and live an abundant life.